This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Different people know songwriter and singer Jules Shear through his different identities. Some people know him best for the songs he wrote, which other singers made into hits, like Cyndi Lauper's recording of All Through the Night and the Bangles' recording If She Knew What She Wants. Some people know him best from his early days as a performer with his band Jules and the Polar Bears. Others know Shear as the co-creator and first host of the MTV series Unplugged, in which rock musicians played acoustic sets. We invited Jules Shear to unplug and bring his acoustic guitar to our studios and play a couple of old and new songs. Shear has a new album called The Great Puzzle, which will be released on Polydor at the end of the month. I asked him if he started off playing acoustic guitar or if he was more into electric guitar and a produced sound.
I always played acoustic guitar because that was all I had. You know, I had my brother's guitar, and that's what I had to work with. Until I moved to Los Angeles and joined the band in Los Angeles, that was when I got my first electric guitar. I didn't have one. I didn't play in garage bands, and I didn't feel like I played guitar. I played guitar so weirdly, which people listening can't see, but I play guitar in a very strange way. And I was also very shy about that, and I always thought, oh, I can never play with the real guys, so I never tried to be in a band or anything like that.
Let's describe this weird way of guitar playing that you're alluding to. You, most people, when they play guitar, they fret with all their fingers of their left hand, and you just use your thumb as if it were a bottleneck or something, sliding it up and down.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, what I did was I took my brother's guitar, and I tuned it to an open chord because I didn't know how to play guitar. And I thought, well, there's a chord. That sounds like a chord to me. And then I thought, well, if I just go up and down the neck, there's a whole bunch of chords. And this whole world opened up to me. And I thought, well, I want to write songs. Look, I have all these chords at my disposal now to write songs with. They were all major chords because it was just a major strum going up and down. It was like a G chord. I didn't know it was a G chord at the time, but that's where it ended up being. So I just found all those chords. And for the first, 3 years of writing songs, I wrote all songs with major chords because that was all I had to use. And then I had this major light bulb went off in my head when I found how I could play a minor chord as well. And then I had all the majors and minors, and then that opened up a whole new world of songwriting for me where I could use minor chords. So then I had all the majors and minors, and that was it. That's when I started. That's the only way I've worked. I mean, I thought about... After that, I thought, I could really learn to play like normal guys play, you know? But then I thought, maybe it's something to do with the way I see the guitar neck or something that makes me play certain chord changes, or maybe it has an influence on my songwriting that I don't want to mess with. So I just always played the same way, and now I'm kind of glad I play this way.
I want to ask you to start with a song from your new record.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Maybe you could do Dreams Dissolve in Tears.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. That's good. This is a song that on the record is a duet with a songwriter that I've worked with a lot, and we wrote this song together, and then a couple months ago we got married.
That's nice.
Isn't that a sweet story?
She met him, he was always saying goodbye. Never with his voice, but with his touch and with his eyes. It was easy to stay up late and make plans that neither meant. Not to deceive or with plans to leave, it was pure without intent. Salt dissolves in water, youth dissolves in years, but it's the hardest fate to watch the way that dreams dissolve in tears. Their dream started with a single in the village, which she liked cause she could see the trees. But he got in bad trouble that drove them all the way to Albany. He watched in front of them watch behind his back. They're far from the city lights, they got pretty black. Salt dissolves in water, youth dissolves in years, but it's the hardest fate to watch the way that dreams dissolve in tears. Started banging on the wall. It was some terrible song she could remember loving. Now she couldn't stand that song at all. He couldn't turn his luck around with the contacts at his local. Destruction got too easy, thinking got too hard. And of course she was crying again, one night out of two. And he'd say, there's always somebody crying somewhere. Tonight I guess it's you. Dissolves in years, but it's the hardest fate to watch the way that dreams dissolve in tears. Salt dissolves in water, youth dissolves in years, but it's the hardest fate to watch the way that dreams dissolve in tears.
Great song, performed for us by Jules Shear. And that song's on his new record, The Great Puzzle, which is coming out at the end of the month. Where did that song start? What was the phrase that you came up with first?
I think it was the idea of, talk about biographical songs, yeah. Not autobiographical ones. This was a song that was really based on two friends of ours who have had a really rough time and moved around a lot. And when the record was done, this friend of mine lives pretty close to me, so he really wanted to hear the record, and I felt really weird about playing him the record.
Oh, because it's about him.
Yeah, and I thought, well, he wants to hear it, so I'll take him the record. So we played it, and the song happens to be eighth on the record out of 11 songs. So I had to sit there through the whole record going, it's coming, and he's going to hear it. And we listened all the way, we're going through the record, and then it gets to that song, and then the song plays all the way through, and at the end, I just waited for him to say something, and he said nothing. Just went on to the next song, and I thought, isn't that weird that you could sit there with somebody, and the song is about him, and he's sitting there listening to it, and he doesn't even know that it's about him. And when the whole record was over, he said, God, the record was really great. I loved it. I'm really happy for you. Now can I hear the song about me again?
Oh. Yeah. So,
he knew. He just shut up about it, but he knew. He knew it was about him immediately. And now he just calls it the song about him.
Well, if you're just joining us, my guest is Jules Shear, and we're going to talk some more, and he'll play another song after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. We're with Jules Shear, and he has his guitar with him. And by the way, he has a new album called The Great Puzzle. Now, I want to get back to something we were talking about before, which is how kind of quiet and shy you were when you started to perform. What was it like when you first got on stage? And there you were in front of a lot of people having to be very public.
Yeah, well, I had to really I made a great effort, to come out of myself and do it. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood where people didn't do this kind of work.
What kind of neighborhood was it?
Well, you know, people worked in, you know, not everybody worked in the steel mills, but a lot of people worked in places that depended upon the steel mills. It was a real working class sort of neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood. I mean, I go back there now because my parents live there. It's a great neighborhood, but it's really like, you know, there probably aren't too many songwriters that have come off that street where I grew up. I mean, people just didn't do it. And if you told people you wanted to do it, they, you know, they would just think, well, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't happen to people from here, you know. So I just thought I took my shot at it, but I didn't. I can't say that I got like a lot of encouragement.
You strike me as someone who knows a lot of songs, and and probably songs that a lot of listeners might think of as being worthless or cliched. You probably really love or find something within it that you love.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to just like redeem a song for us? Redeem a fragment of a song.
A song
that's generally despised or not thought well of that you think is really wonderful.
How about a song by Brenda Lee? Would that be something you would be looking for? Something
you might
like
not
that?
Need redemption. It might already be redeemed.
It is a great song, but it's not something where someone says, "Gee, Jules is going to do a Brenda Lee song." You know, I heard recently. I thought it was a great song that I've kind of been playing. I don't know if I could remember all the words.
Yeah, it's okay. Do what you can with it.
All alone am I ever since your goodbye. All alone with just the beat of my heart. People all around, but I don't hear a sound. Just a lonesome beating of my heart. No use in holding other hands when I'd be holding only emptiness. No use and kissing other lips when I'd be thinking just of your caress. All alone am I ever since your goodbye. All alone with just the beat of my heart. People all around, but I don't hear a sound. Just a lonesome beating of my heart. That's a great song.
It is a great song.
You know, I don't know. It's just like a song like I heard when I was a kid, and then I just heard it recently and went, wow, what a cool song. And like when I was a kid, I just remember thinking, oh, that's good. But it's like nothing I would ever bother to learn because you'd never think, gee, I'll go upstairs and learn a new Brenda Lee song. I just wouldn't do it, you know. So, but then when you actually slow it down, she does it pretty slow. But then when you do it without all like the orchestration and everything, it just is like a really... really nice sort of 50s kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, it's really lovely the way you did it. You did it in this really small voice, too. Brenda Lee's more of a punny belter in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks.
Mostly, you sing your own songs, and a lot of other people have recorded your songs as well. Who have you been writing for lately?
Well, you know, I wrote a bunch of songs with the guys in the band.
Uh-huh. In the band on the new record.
In the band. It's confusing when you talk about
that. I should mention, you're living part of the time in Woodstock, where the band, members of the band live. Yeah,
yeah, and it was right after I started renting this little house there where I got this call about that they wanted to do a record. And I went up there and had a fantastic time. We had a place rented, and we would just go there every day and work on songs.
What's your approach to polishing a song when you've written a song? What do you do to polish it? How long do you work on it before you actually go into the studio and start producing it?
I work a lot longer on songs now than I ever did. I write less songs now than I used to, and I work harder on each one.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was younger, I used to write a lot of songs, and I didn't really work for a long time on any of them. I just wanted to get the next one out. And it seems like as I get older, I want each one to be really, really as good as it can be. And maybe it's also now that maybe before when I was younger, I didn't trust myself to know when I was going to start making it worse again by working on it longer. But now I actually have the belief in myself, I suppose, to feel that like I'm going to keep making it better and to know when it's actually at the point where I'm not. I don't think I believed that I knew that before. And I think now that I do, I can work on songs longer and enjoy it for a longer period of time. It's worth it if you, in the end, if I can sing a song and not have any of what I call bumps in the song where I go, I don't really like this part. Here comes that little part that I don't really like that much again. You know, if I can go through a song and not have any of those little things, then it just makes life with that song, living with that song from now on, so much better. It's as with many things in life, it's better to put in the work at the time and enjoy it later rather than let it go and have it always bother you.
Jules, can I ask you to do another song for us, and can I make a request?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Can you
I know it?
Yeah. It's one of yours. It's called Whispering Your Name.
Oh, yeah.
This has a great build in it. I really like it.
There was nothing that I could do, just because she ran right here doesn't mean I interfered. Now I'm wondering if we can feel the same, 'cause she keeps whispering your name. She keeps on whispering your name like she's just waiting. She once told me how she felt, didn't just want me to hear it from someone else. There were unknowns she couldn't know, but she hoped you two would grow. And when you didn't, she was brought to me in pain. Now she keeps whispering your name. She keeps on whispering your name like she's just waiting. If it's just a little fling, a simple thing, I try not to pretend. If it's just for jealousy, she's using me, that might be hard to mend. Oh, what else can I do but try to give her more than she got from you? And when she wakes up suddenly and she says your name to me, I just hope it's force of habit and not need, 'cause she keeps whispering your name. She keeps on whispering your name like she's just waiting. Well, tell
What a great song. How long did it take you to write that one? That seems like a song that's really perfectly polished. I mean, it seems like that's a song, yeah. song that wouldn't have those kinds of bumps that you were describing.
No, it didn't. And it did. That's right. And it did come pretty quickly, that song.
Did it?
Yeah. It was very much inspired by Roy Orbison, you know.
I could see that because it has that kind of build that a lot of his songs.
Yeah. Right? It was actually the song, you know, I'd heard the song on the radio when I was with my friend when I lived in Boston. I met this guy, Elliot Easton, who played guitar in the Cars. And we would ride around a lot and listen to the radio. And we heard this oldie station. There was this song by Roy Orbison. And we didn't know, we'd never heard the song before. And, you know, we thought between the two of us, we knew all of Roy Orbison's hits. So it was really unusual. We didn't know the song. And so we spent a lot of the day going around to record stores looking for this song that we heard on the radio. We had the title and everything, but we couldn't find it. But that's what inspired me to go, God, I want to write something that kind of has that Orbison-like quality. You know?
But he has such an incredible range. Was it hard to write that for your voice?
Yeah, with my tiny range, is that what you're implying?
Well, I mean, who has the range of Roy Orbison?
No, that's true. I just wanted it to be powerful. I didn't really think about it too much. And then when we cut it, I cut it with Todd Rundgren, and we had cellists come in, you know, and do this thing on it. And it was really fun. It was really a good experience. We thought it would actually, might even be a single, but it never was.
Well, I wish you the best with the new record and with your upcoming performances and so on. It's really been so much fun to have you here. Thanks
Great.
A lot
Thanks.
For playing for us. I really
appreciate it.
You make
it very easy. I appreciate that.
Thanks. My guest has been Jules Shear, and he has a new record, and it's coming out at the end of the month. It's called The Great Puzzle.